Good evening. You're listening to MJOTA Talks Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Irving, for the night. And over here we have my good friend Carlos. And we are new to the station, but we plan to be bringing you new topics, new developments on various different activities going on pretty much all over.
All over sounds good. I think all over the city of Philadelphia would be a good place to start, though. So, on that note, the topics of the shows that are going to be coming up, what would they be?
Well, the basic outline and concept of my show is just to reach out to the underground music scene in Philadelphia. There are a lot of artists in Philadelphia. It's one thing a lot of people outside of the city may not actually know. It's a very artistic community, very tightly knit with all types of music and art and, you know, just physical activities and a bunch of different things. So we plan to reach out and, you know, meet different artists and musicians in the city that are doing things to better their community or to further their careers.
Furthering is always good. I've always said that the music scene itself is a big part of youth culture, and that is what the other show will be about. This city has a lot of young people. You know what? There are a lot of young people all over the world. And I think that it is a good topic to relate to a lot of the things that would be having to do with MJOTA Talks, all the art and the music and health stuff they talk about. Young people are healthy.
Indeed, young people are healthy. So, you know, this is just our nice introduction as far as, you know, the products that we plan to be bringing to you, the two different shows, but all part of one big group, MJOTA Talks.
She does talk. She, not being MJOTA, she being Dr. Susanna, whom you know from two separate shows, and from the runner of this whole thing. She is a doctor and a traveler, and does a lot of stuff for the communities in Africa, I think specifically Nigeria. She's a multi-talented lady.
Yes, and we're very fortunate to have gotten a chance to know and meet her, and we're glad to be a part of what she's trying to do. I'd like to give you all a brief introduction as to who I am, and I'll let Carlos do the same. My name is Irving Jean-Baptiste. I was born and raised in West Philadelphia around the Overbrook section near Overbrook High School. Music's been a big part of my life since a small child. It's just music experience on both sides of my family, and therefore I had always gravitated towards music. When I was 9 years old, however, I found myself doing a genre, you know, trying to get myself involved in a genre that, for one, my parents kind of forbidden, hip-hop music. I fell in love with it instantly from the first time I heard the beat to the first time I've seen someone on stage performing. I knew that hip-hop was something that I wanted to be a part of, and so I've stuck with it, and over the years I've met a lot of talented people who have become not only associates of mine in the underground hip-hop industry, but have also become very good friends, and I'm glad to say that I know them and have them in my life. And so that's, you know, just a little bit of who I am as a person. I'm currently a junior at Temple University studying for broadcasting. And, you know, just also working as a musician, constantly, you know, putting out new projects and different mixtapes and things like that. So you can stay tuned, and I'll continue to give you updates. And now I pass it on to Carlos.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where he spent most of his days, Jean-Baptiste. All right, I am Carlos Ginsburg. I was raised in Philadelphia, but I'm from Colombia in a South America, and I came here when I was 2. I was adopted by Jewish people, so that is the religion that I practice is Judaism, and it's been a very important part of my life to have that culture and that that real background of family and community within, you know, within at least Philadelphia and then outside of Philadelphia too. I teach special education Hebrew school on Sundays, and am Jewish.
And Jewish he is. Now, Carlos, I'd like to ask, now, as far as the teaching as you were talking about, now, how did you find yourself getting into that?
Actually, I wrote an essay. I wrote an essay to a program at a college in the Philadelphia area, a Jewish college. I don't know if we can say their name, but they're great. They have a lot of programs for Gratz Community College, or Jewish college, I don't know. But I did a program there, and I teach kids with special needs now.
Oh, that's good, that's good. See, it's good to know that, you know, you never know what kind of activities or programs you could get yourself involved in that'll lead to different, you know, you being involved in bigger and better things. And so it's very refreshing to hear somebody that is doing that. And it's all based off of writing. So it sounds to me like you must be a very proficient writer, Carlos.
I do write. I have some stuff going on. I have a little, you know, town calendar that I'm published in. Minor things, nothing huge. Although you, I hear you are involved in the Philadelphia music scene very heavily. That's, yeah.
It's something I'm still working on. I think I'm building my way into it more and more as the years go by. Just with all the connections I've made. I've been doing this since I was 9 years old, and by this I mean, you know, hip-hop and production as well. And I've just constantly been trying to better myself as an artist and as a producer and as a performer and as an entertainer overall. And I think that is, it's in doing that I've been able to actually meet a lot of people in the underground, you know, Philly hip-hop scene. And so, you know, I just plan to continue to do what I do until I expand just beyond Philadelphia, but to New York, to California, to L.A., to Texas, and just a variety of different places.
Hip-hop in Texas. Interesting enough. Well, you know, there's music everywhere. I happen to know that there's music everywhere. Now, as for pets, what kind of pets do you have? Animals?
I have no pets. I had a fish once. It died after 6 months. I was 10. It was tragic. And that's about it. Never really big on animals. I love animals. I just never, you know, I've never had one myself. Although I think when I finally move out on my own, I'll probably get a dog. Maybe. Still debating. Not too sure. What about you, Carlos? Do you have any pets?
I have a small zoo. Let's see. I have a cat and then some dogs and then some rodents and then some dogs that look like rodents. It's nice. You know, I feel like people with animals really, It gives them some sense of not being alone, and that's good. It's good to have, you know, something that's by your side, you know. Speaking of something that is by your side, cell phones play music. You have a phone, yes?
Yes, in fact, I do have a phone. I have a Sprint phone. It comes in handy because the phone that I have plays music, as you said earlier. And it's just very convenient. I put my own songs on there. And, you know, wherever I go, I use it as sort of a networking tool as far as meeting other musicians in different areas. You know, that way I always keep a pair of headphones on just so I can, you know, take my business, you know, around with me. You know, if I have music that I need to show people, or if they're people that I'm meeting for the first time and they'd like to hear a sample of my work, I, you know, bring out the headphones, I bring out the phone, and I give them a chance to sit down, and even if just for a moment, sit down and really pay attention to, you know, what I do as an artist, as a producer. So, you know, music being able to be played on phones is actually very convenient. Another thing that a lot of people I don't think know about phones is that, or rather, music on phones. But phones, technology in this country is advancing at such an advanced rate. It just it continues to expand and become better. I mean, now we're at a point where you can pretty much look up what someone's doing all from your phone. And as you were just talking about music being played on phones, there's actually a program that you can download on certain phones that will allow you to make music while on the go. Just to, you know, give you a, you know, a quick example of how technology is just changing and becoming so much more advanced.
That's good. That's why I realized I brought up phones. It's it has to do with both of our specific shows, actually. The network of, you know, musicians, and I feel like there's a lot of communication between young people in that regard to music and to community. And community itself is important. I think that tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, a day where communities come together and they celebrate the life and the legacy of the legendary Martin Luther King, who did a lot during the Civil Rights Movement, was a big, powerful force as far as nonviolent protesting. And because of Martin Luther, people like Martin Luther King, we got a lot done, and things have changed in this country dramatically. But still begs the question, has enough been done? I mean, do you think Martin Luther King reach the goal that he was trying to reach, or do we still have some work to do as a people and overall as a country?
Well, I would say that as a country, we've made strides, just leaps and bounds in different, you know, aspects of the melting of different cultures, and that's good. And I think that the memory of Dr. King itself serves to bring people together. I know that personally, I will be doing some volunteering tomorrow on Martin Luther King Day, as do a lot of people. I know it's called a Martin Luther King Day of Service in some communities, because people really do want to get out there and honor the memory of this man who changed the face of America. And I think it's important, and it's good to know that just the memory of someone doing that much good can inspire people.
Mm-hmm. See, that's good. And it's good that we are acknowledging a man for something that, you know, he did, and that everyone sees as something positive. Now, as far as different people that, you know, that holidays are based on in America. Now, there's some holidays that I think a lot of people debate on or whether or not they're, relevant, I guess you could say. For example, to people like, you know, some people like us, for example, you know, our families are immigrants. The 4th of July, does that have any significance, any importance in our families, well, considering, you know, they're immigrants? Or do we just celebrate it like everyone else does?
I think that, you know, the 4th of July, it's an important holiday just to the history of America, but I think that we've fallen into a pattern with it. You know, you get the little flag and you go to the fireworks, and it's fun. It's a nice bonding activity for a family, and you know what? That's why it's important, all these holidays. That's why they're so important, because they're really just about being with the people that you're around. So you know what? I think get more holidays. You know what? Let's celebrate something. Huh. What could we celebrate? I think we need more holidays is the point.
I'm a big Seinfeld watcher. I love Seinfeld. A lot of people don't know. I'm actually currently working on a sitcom myself. Me and a couple friends of mine are working on a sitcom that's kind of Seinfeld-ish, if you will. But, you know, just to prove, you know, just to go to show you how much we are in love with the show Seinfeld. It's just an amazing show. And I think the way we were just talking about holidays, we need more holidays. I think Festivus should seriously be considered. You know, let's be honest. Everyone complains about the commercialism of Christmas, and, you know, just the commercialism of almost any holiday. Now, Festivus was created in the Seinfeld universe, in a sense, pretty much because they wanted to get rid of the commercialism that came along with Christmas or that holiday season. And, you know, like, all right, if you had to make a holiday, Carlos, what, just out of the blue, what kind of holiday would you make?
Well, what better way to celebrate your love for your friends and family than by spending money? Money! That's what the holidays are about! Family, love, and money. I think I'd call it Money Day.
You'd call it Money Day. I think that's probably everyone's favorite holiday. For those that are just tuning in, this is M. Joda Talks Youth and Music with Carlos and Irving. And I'm Irving, and Carlos is over here to my left. My directions are off sometimes. Do you like sports, Carlos?
You know what? I do. I do like sports. I especially like football. For the 4 years that I was in high school, I dressed up in a giant dog suit and danced on the sidelines. I was the mascot for the Haddonfield Bulldogs. Yes. Sports.
So you were the mascot, and so you would just show up at all the sports events? Just football? Okay, so you wouldn't have to hop up and down on a trampoline doing a backflip with a basketball in your hand or anything crazy like that. Okay, no. All right. So you're lucky. No, me, myself, I actually love sports. I just never got into it. I played football for an awesome 3 weeks my freshman year of high school. Yeah, greatest 3 weeks ever. I did not make it. I did play basketball for a time, a very brief period during my grade school years. Not very long. It's not even really a relevant period. It didn't last at all. So, all right. Well, since you sort of kind of are into football in a way, what do you think of Tim Tebow? I have to ask.
Tim Tebow. You know what? He's an earnest fellow. He goes out there, he truly believes in what he believes in, and I have to respect that. I think that anybody who can stick to the convictions that they have strong enough to go on national TV and sit down after every play, that's somebody that you can say, hey, you know what? Look at this person. They're to be looked at.
I like that. I like that. Indeed. See, right now the biggest thing about Tim Tebow is I think everyone's really been on him just because of how he carries himself as an athlete and as a person overall. He's very religious. You can see everything he does is bound in religion. I mean, he even prays before every game, and you know, the media just swarms. They flock to that. And 2 weeks ago, I think it was. Now, I'm bringing this game up because I want to get your opinion on this. 2 weeks ago, he used to wear this eye blacken under his eye that used to say John 3:16. The game he played 2 weeks ago, almost all the numbers, all the stats, almost all equaled up to 3:16. It's just very odd. It's very peculiar. And a lot of people are now starting to, you know, wonder, okay, what's the deal with this? He's really Christian, and this is going on. They said he threw 316-yard passes, I think, just about. And whoever was monitoring how many people were watching that particular game had said, I think that on average, there was a total of 31.6 people watching that final quarter on television. It's just really peculiar that the numbers are like, what do you think of that? Do you think phenomenon or just coincidence?
You ever seen that movie where Nick Cage finds all those patterns of numbers?
Isn't that every movie?
That is every movie. I think that it's a very nice, I think that people are always going to be looking for mystical signs like that, something to believe in. John 3:16 itself, the quote, has something to do with God loving the world, and I think the quote itself goes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life," as the internet tells me. That is the quote. It's a very hopeful quote. It's maybe something that a star athlete would like to see on their face. Ooh, hey, I was given to the world. You know what? I'm not going to say it's a lie. He's a damn good football player sometimes.
He does have his moments, I'd have to say. Sometimes is definitely the word, because the game that he played yesterday was, did you see that game at all?
I tried to avoid it.
It didn't end very well. It was not a very well played game, but you know, that's that. I guess we can say.
That is what that is. Sports and all. I think that sports have become a very big cultural part of America. It's almost, you know, we used to have baseball as a national pastime, and it changed things. do change. Positions in the world change. I think that there's something going on in Nigeria now that's been very, you know, I hesitate to use the word interesting to describe something like this, but it's been a big change, definitely, in the balance of power over there. Things have shifted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's, you know, I've heard they've tripled the price of gasoline, and people are now starving to death because of that. It's a tragedy.
The thing about the price of gasoline, they tripled it because the a lot of the electricity that they would be using over there in small houses, small business, that kind of thing, are run off gasoline generators. So, you know, what better way to cut people off from the world and their community than to take away their electricity? It's a very interesting way of saying, hey, you have no more voice, a very political way of doing that. And, you know, it's kind of slimy, just like the gasoline itself. It's been very hard to hear about because we're not hearing about it. It's what's on... I mean, you look at the internet, you don't see, oh, hey, people are having their voice taken away. No, it's the Golden Globes and some other, you know, celebrity stuff. I think there's a lot of focus that we put on celebrities in America. And, you know, Beyonce just had her baby. Speaking of celebrities, they had a baby! Beyonce and Jay-Z, their baby's name is, I think, Blue Ivy? Blue Ivy, and you know, I mean, there are people, there's all kinds of rumors about Beyonce and Jay-Z, Illuminati. Blue stands for, Ivy stands for Illuminati's very youngest or something. I mean, people are always going to make up these kind of interesting and crazy things. So, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, see, I knew more about this Beyonce baby thing than I did about the people in Nigeria who are having their gasoline taken away. Not taken away, but, you know, put so out of price for them that they can't afford it. I think it's interesting what has become of our culture, specifically.
See, what it is because the media is kind of obsessed with blindsiding us. They want to put things in front of us that they know we will find more appealing, as opposed to... providing the truth for us to see, to actually see what's going on in other parts of the world. You know, much of this country is in the dark as far as the situation in Nigeria. And not only that, but, you know, people in Haiti are still recovering. And I think that's something that lasted for a while, but that was it. You know, everyone knew about it for a time. And I think after a couple months, you know, it just kind of faded away, as it normally works with natural disasters in other countries. As you notice, in this country, they'll get a lot of press when they first happen. And as time kind of falls by, as time passes by, you see these things become less and less prominent in the news. And it's really because the country just kind of wants to keep us in the dark. But that's all that, you know, I digress. That's all I can say about that.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I think it's hard for people to face these ugly things that are going on in the world. We don't like to look at ugly things, we like to look at pretty celebrities. I like to look at pretty celebrities.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, who doesn't? I think that there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. I know that President Jonathan's last speech by Rudolf Ugukunqo is currently... out. It's very interesting. I think the title is Correct Me If I'm Right. And yeah, it's interesting.
So we're here to prove that underground media is the new media. We are the new way to reach the people, to reach kids, adults, everyone that has access to the internet can get in touch with us and take a listen to what we do and to, you know, hear what's going on all over the world, in our country, even in your own backyard. For those that need to get in contact with me, you can contact me at all one word, unseenbutalwaysheard@gmail.com.
Okay, this would be my part to give you my contact information if you would need to contact me about anything. It would be one word, alwaysonpitch@gmail.com, and Facebook, Carlos Ginsburg, you know, that's the name. I liked what you were saying about this, the underground media being the new form of actual communication. This is how people hear real things, like this book about President Jonathan's last speech, and this whole station, this whole way of communicating with people through the internet. It's very hopeful for me, almost, in a way, to think that while there's this mask that we can put on of, oh, hey, celebrities and gossip and all this, there's this real nice underground web of truth.
No, I think the only problem that a lot of people would have, or a lot of argument that a lot of people would pose as far as starting kind of an underground radio station as we are doing, what form of radio do you think is more effective? I always like asking this to, you know, other people that are, you know, doing radio and broadcasting as much as I do and love to have an extreme passion for it. Now, do you feel like terrestrial radio, so, you know, that's the FM, AM dial, do you think that that is starting to kind of suffer a decline or decrease in interest as far as how many people are actually paying attention due to things like online radio or satellite radio? Or yeah, do you think that satellite and online radio are the future, or do you think that there's still room for terrestrial radio somewhere?
I think that satellite radio is expensive. I think that satellite radio is a nice way for people to listen to a lot of varied stuff. It could be a nice way of communication, but it's so expensive. I mean, you know, the internet, you can find a Wi-Fi connection almost anywhere. I would have to say, I know personally that I always listen to radio, 100.3 The Beat, that is what I listen to, that is, I have radio in my car, it's on pretty much all the time. I think that as long as people are listening to something, you know, there's going to be a medium everywhere for all different types of things.
I think you're right, Carlos. I think you have a very good point about that, actually. See, I understand completely where you're coming from. And actually, I agree with what you were saying earlier about how, you know, internet radio or online radio or satellite radio has, like, more variety and things like that. They are really expensive, you're right. But at the same time, I think you can, I guess I'll play devil's advocate here. In a way, you could kind of see why they're so expensive. I mean, look at the service that they provide. They, you know, the shows, everything that they do is so particular, and it's, you know, it varies, as opposed to terrestrial radio, where there are certain stations that, I mean, let's be honest, they kind of play nonsense sometimes. You know, I think with satellite radio, you can get, you know, if you have a moment where you only want to listen to music from the 60s, you can find it. And right after that, you could find a station where they're having a talk doc, you know, a talk show about animals, you know, something like that, just to give an example of how particular they can get. So I think there's some pros and cons with satellite radio, and as well as terrestrial radio, you know.
All very well and true. All you need for satellite radio is a moment and some money. It's all about money. I think the internet, you know, internet itself isn't necessarily free, but a lot of the content on the internet is free. A lot of the music that I know people download on the internet is free. I would have to say that I think terrestrial radio will always be around. I think that it's, you know, it's kind of a classic at this point. Like, let's see, people don't want to get rid of a lot of things that they know and they like. We're creatures of habit. We keep our old radios. We keep our old cars. Well, I guess we can't say we keep our old spouses anymore. Divorce rates in America are extremely high. Speaking of
divorce rates, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, they seem to, it's just sad, you know, in a city where, in a country where, you know, you would think that love would be more prominent, one of the richest countries in the world, why are so many people separating? I think it's a variety of different reasons. I think a lot of them, you know, feel like it could be due to money. It could be, you know, due to other different issues, things that may have happened before the marriage or prior to the marriage or even during the marriage that, you know, they try to not speak too much about. So, you know, things like that. Once again, if you're just taking a listen, you're listening to M. Jota Talks, Youth and Music with Carlos and Irving. I think we have reached the end of the first episode. So thank you all for listening, and tune in. Tune in again soon. We will be with you. And, yeah, so have a good evening and a good night.
Good evening and a good night. Irving, you have a great radio voice. I will see you at some other time. Good night, America.